rainy morning in Portland, and this is, I think this is episode 7 of Pedagogy in Practice podcast. I want to talk a little bit this morning on my drive into work about grouping students and like how to choose those groups. I've been teaching Romeo and Juliet. This is my third time teaching it. I'm gonna write a post this weekend, hopefully, or sometime in the next couple of weeks about how I've sort of changed the way that I'm teaching it. But one of the ways I've changed it is, instead of reading Romeo and Juliet as a whole class and discussing it as we go, this year I'm having them read it on their own and then discuss with groups. And they get like these guiding questions in the beginning before they start reading the act and scene. I think it's going well, but one of the things that I've sort of struggled with and fought with this unit is how to group the students so that when they're meeting in groups afterwards, while they're reading beforehand, that the guiding questions and what I'm asking them to do is at an appropriate level. Not too hard for some students and not so easy for others, you know. And I got this idea from taking a culture class right now at PSU, and an island of English, and it's about a school in Chinatown, and they kept on having students who were coming in from other countries, or from China, because they would, once a kid got a visa, he has to hop on a plane, and it might not be during the summer, it might just be sometime during the regular school year. And a lot of these students weren't going to school in China because the plan all along was, hey, as soon as the parents have enough money, they're going to hop on a plane and go to China, or go to the U.S., you know, and go into that education system. So the students would get there, and they wouldn't have, I mean, they might be able to read and write Chinese, but they wouldn't have any English language skills at all. And they just show up halfway through the year or during the last week of the year or, you know, just anywhere. So the issue was that then, you know, you keep on having this constant stream of students that are at a very basic level or at a, you know, at zero level as far as English language. So what they did was they grouped these students with their readers who were just above them, you know? And then they would have their students who had been there for a while be grouped together according to their level. And this was really great because you're giving, you know, you have differentiated groups, but you're giving your sort of mid-level or your low mid-level students are really able to, like for them, they're teaching the students who are lower than them, but it's not like, I mean, they're learning by doing that. Whereas if you take your high-level students and put them with your lowest level readers, and their job is to teach them, that's not differentiated groups, you know. That's just like, hey, I got nothing else for you to do because you're doing so great in this class, so do my job and teach these kids. Which is really, I mean, that would be a little over the top in the way of saying that, but to some extent, that's what it is, because, you know, these high-level students are just like, you can't teach these kids. But the low, mid-level students, being able to, you know, we talk about how how showing that you have learned the skills, the highest level of that is teaching them to someone else. So if you have your low mid-level students doing that, then they're reinforcing what they need to know at that level. So after reading that, I was like, well, hey, maybe I should try that in my class. Because the problem was I had all these mixed groups, which sort of made sense, but, you know, because I wanted after the students had read, I wanted my low students to be able to discuss the stuff with my high students. But I think the high students were probably like, dude, I get the plot. I don't even need your guiding questions on the plot. I totally understand what's going on. And the low level kids were like, I could ask them questions and they didn't always get it. So what I did was I took my high students and I put them in separate groups. And they got questions that had to deal more with the craft and delving deeper. Like, so the craft would be, explicating these really great soliloquies and finding the figure of language in them, identifying them, that sort of thing. Or the better example is like in Act 5, there's all this stuff where Romeo goes and buys the poison, right? Well, so that's the plot piece you need, but there's this great line after Romeo gets the poison saying, hey, here's your gold, the worser poison for men's souls, you know? This whole, like, commentary on how money is this horrible thing. And so, like, my students who just need to get the plot don't need to necessarily get that piece. But my high-level students who are already getting the plot, like, this is really, like, an interesting thing for Shakespeare to just come out with, this whole, like, political comment. So those students were getting questions like, hey, explicate the lines, start with, here's that goal, blah, 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 you know. And then I put my low students with my sort of mid-range students, and they are attacking the plot questions. And that's going pretty well, I think. The other thing that I wanted to talk about with this, and this was really where I wanted to start, but that's where my mind was this morning. But I was at we had an in-service 2 weeks ago, and we watched this video from this guy, and I'm at an EL school, an Expeditionary Learning School, and this is one of the, there's something on their network, so if I find the video, I'll definitely post it. We only watched like a couple of 3-minute segments of the video. It's 40 minutes long, so I don't know how valuable you'll find that. I do want to watch the whole video, so once I find it so I can watch it when I have extra time to watch the stuff, if that'll happen before the summer, I will go ahead and post it later. But his basic point, and this was all on the new core curriculum standards, and how they're very, which are great, how they're so geared toward literacy and across the subject areas. Woo, core standards, like, heck yeah. And they're all, like, linked together, like, you have 10 standards and they follow, like, I'm just saying, like, I mean, whether you're for standards or not for standards, like, this is a huge, at least in Oregon, I feel, this is a huge improvement. And the same for Colorado, too. So, you know, I don't know if anybody doesn't like the core standards, maybe your state standards beforehand are better than the ones I've seen. But anyway, total tangent. Anyway, this guy was talking about how with literacy, you really want, like, we should not be leveling our literacy. And I get that. Like, I get the whole, or I guess from my perspective, what I've seen before is if a student gets psyched up about something and is really motivated to read a text that is at maybe like a 1,000 lexile, and they're only reading it at 500 lexile, I'm not going to be like, oh no, you're really excited about this text, but I'm not going to read it. Like, of course I'm going to let them try it and see how they do. Because their motivation might take them forward. Now, I was kind of reconsidering that because I'm also taking my reading practicum, and I mentioned this to the professor, and she was like, yeah, but, I mean, if the text is at frustration level, you're sort of setting them up for failure. So, I don't know. I can see both sides of that. But this guy was saying, hey, we should not be not giving students text in subject areas because we think it's too hard. We should be giving them the tools to tackle that text and get through it. And I guess he had seen, like, you know, people were giving texts either that were at the lowest student's reading level to all the students, or was giving separate texts to differentiated groups. And his point was, you know, if a student is an intervention, then, you know, you can start them off with level text, but they need to be moving as quickly as possible towards the text you're using in all your classes. And at your regular subject level where it's not intervention, or even if you have some intervention students in that class, everyone should be reading the same text. And if it's difficult, like, you know, that's okay. Like, you spend more than, and that means you spend two class periods taking down a text and giving them the tools they need. That's great, because the next time that you give them a hard, difficult text, they're already going to have that tool set, and they're going to be able to get started on their own. And, you know, even if you have to do that five times to add tools to the toolbox, the ultimate learning that's happening overall there is fantastic, because, like, even if you have to spend a bunch of extra time five times in class, you know, maybe you spend a whole class period, like, five different times just reading a text, the benefit of that is next time you give them a text, you're not going to be spending the whole class period, you know? So I was like, oh, that's really kind of interesting. Because I was really, at the time, I was considering, you know, we have two different copies of Romeo and Juliet. We have the No Fear Shakespeare from SparkNotes, which has the side-by-side translation in modern-day English, which has its uses. And then we have the Folger Shakespeare Library, which just has the footnotes on, you know, we have all of Shakespeare's text on the right side of the page, and just footnotes on the left side where they translate some of the words that have a different Elizabethan usage. So this is all great, you know. So I was starting to consider right before this thing, because I had some students who were struggling with the text, and we were only in Act 1, and I think there's a certain amount, like, you need to give them some time to get used to the text, and we were reading a lot of it together. But I was getting kind of worried, and I was considering, hey, maybe I should give some students the No Fear Shakespeare so they get the side-by-side translation, and give some students the Folgers, and, you know, do it that way, so the students who can handle the really difficult text are going to do the difficult text, and the students who need the side-by-side translation can have that side-by-side translation. But after this in-service, I was like, well, I guess no. I'm not going to do it. And I'm glad that I didn't, because I have, you know, my students who I was really concerned about before, now that they're reading in a small group and working with those middle range students, I'm seeing them being able to find meaning in the text, you know, and being able to explicate some of the lines that have to be applied. So, So I've really kind of learned from that that I shouldn't level that stuff. So I kind of want to, I need to find time to talk to my professor and be like, hey, here's what I'm thinking, here's what is going on for me, and, you know, because I just need to find where I stand for certain on that. So that's just where I've been thinking the past couple weeks during this unit. And hopefully you'll see a post later on, whenever I post this thing, because I know I'm recording it now, but it'll probably, I don't know what I'll post. Hopefully today, we'll see. But hopefully in the next couple of days you'll see a post on Shakespeare 2, or on this whole unit. And I've got such an awesome post title for this, so we have that to look forward to. But, yeah, so that's episode 7. I'm almost in school now. And thanks for listening. And just keep on bringing that research-based pedagogy into the classroom, into practice. I think that's my tagline. It's been like 2 years since I've had a podcast. So, anyway, thanks. Have a great day.